There are a lot of people missing, most of them my family, I think, this week. But there are a lot of people on vacation, and of course, Bauer's still gone. And oh, I should have posted the picture of him at the White House. Oh, Bauer was at the White House. Let me reenact it. Okay. It's the best I can do. It's the best I can do. If you want to see Bauer at the White House, come and see me after the service, and I'll show you. And Will was with him, and that was kind of a fun picture to see. But I'm glad I could reenact it and have such a lifelike appearance. I'm losing it already, aren't I? We're going to continue with our just our series on encounters with Jesus. And in this series, we have sections where we talk about Jesus himself encountering people, or people in his church getting a connection with Jesus. So Christians are people that can bring a connection with Jesus to people by sharing the word, by living their life accordingly. So we are going to look at Jesus and the Ethiopian. We did Acts chapter 8 2 weeks ago, and week before last, and we're going to finish up the chapter this week. And again, we're kind of focusing on Philip, as we did in the beginning of the chapter, and what happened after Simon and the magician and all that, and Peter and John showing up and the Spirit moving, and then we are going to continue on from there. So let me pray first, and then I'll read the scripture. So pray with me. So Father, thank you that we can look at your word this morning. Thank you, Lord, that your word is living and active. Thank you, Lord, that it is life-changing, it is illuminating, it is a powerful thing. So we ask, Lord, that you'd help us. Help us to see things this morning that will help our walk with you. Help us, Lord. Help me to communicate clearly, to be able to share things that are helpful. Help me to throw out the things that are not, because they are many. But we thank you for the opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're going to look at Acts chapter 8, verses 25 through 40. I'll be reading that. English Standard Version. So we'll start at verse 25. This is the word of the Lord. Now when they had testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and he went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asking, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before his shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself in Azotus, close enough, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. So we're going to look at this. The main point that I have this morning, if it makes any grammatical sense whatsoever, because I was looking at it this morning and I was questioning it, when we encounter Jesus through a spirit-born believer, direction is provided, opportunities are given, and questions are asked that can lead to eternal results. That might say that up there. So when we encounter the Lord, things happen. When someone knows the Lord and we encounter people, things can happen. We're going to look at three different things. And I broke these down to very simple points. Where do I go from here is the first point. Second point is, what am I reading? And the third one is three questions for my soul. So let's dig in here and see where we go. Where do I go from here? We have, in the beginning of our passage, we got Philip, Peter, and John. They started back to Jerusalem. They were preaching the gospel to the many villages of the Samaritans. And when I read this, we have to remind ourselves that when we're going somewhere, it's not always the destination that we should just be focusing on. When we go somewhere, it's not like, here we go, this is where I'm going. If we go on vacation, if we're just saying, I'm going to Disneyland, and you sit in the car with all the children, and you never say a word, you never do anything, you never do it, you're just going there, you go to Disney World, then you come home, you're missing out on relational growth in your family. There's more to just going to the final destination. I think that's what I'm getting out of this when it comes to walking our life out in the Lord. There are spiritual opportunities along the way. The journey has something for us. And when we look at Philip, it looked like he was originally going to go with Peter and John back to Jerusalem. It looked like that's the plan. Yeah, come on back with us. We're going to go. But an angel of the Lord speaks to him, and he says, go south. And he wanted him to go from Jerusalem to Gaza. There was a road that went there. It was a desert road. It was a solitary, the word desert there, solitary, lonely, desolated, uninhabited road. There was nothing there. There wasn't anything. There wasn't a Starbucks. There wasn't a Cumbies. There might have been a Taco Bell, but that was about it, okay? There's nothing that's going down there. And the angel says, don't stop at Jerusalem. Keep going. Don't stop to Jerusalem. Go to toward Gaza. There's some things that Philip had that I think is going to help us to grow. Some things that he does. At least I want to grow in these things. And I want us to look at that first of all. The angel said, get up and go. Get up and go. There was a poem by John Denham. How do I know my youth is all spent when my get up and go is got up and went? It's written in 1949. Pete Seeger made a song about it. The problem today is, and this is what I'm seeing, not because I'm old, because I'm not, but this is what I'm seeing in life today. Nobody has any get up and go. All their get up and go, got up and went. They don't have any motivation. They don't have any desire. They don't have any vision, or they don't have any mission. And I see this not just out in the world generally. I see it in the church. People are satisfied. They just sit back and they don't feel like there's really anything. I'm going to church. I'm worshiping. Yeah, I'm nice to the cashier. I'm doing a couple of different things. But there's more to life, possibly. I'm not gonna throw any blanket down here, But maybe God has something more for us to do. This is what, there's some, when Philip took off and he got up, he just said, yeah, I'm gonna go. You know, when we plan a trip, we say, okay, I've got to bring this and this and this and this. I pack up my luggage. I need to map everything out. Is my AAA card up to date? We have to do all these things to plan our trip. Philip said, okay, I'm just going to go. Now, I'm not saying that you should just take off and go things. I'm just saying maybe we shouldn't be quite so formula in our following what God wants us to do. We need to have... This is what Philip had. He had faith and trust. That's what he had for him. He had faith and trust. See, in reality, things look like uncertainty. In reality, if we're looking at everything, things seem very uncertain. But in faith, it looks like a mission. It looks like a purpose. It looks like God's going to do something. All through the life that we walk through, our responses in our journey are vital for the destination. The journey is part of getting to the destination. It's an important aspect of that. And we need faith and trust as we go through that. See, the journey oftentimes prepares us for the destination. Like if for a job, if you want to do a certain thing, what do you want to be when you grow up? Well, I want to be a physicist. Well, you probably need to go to school to prepare yourself to do that. That's preparation. That's the journey that goes along for the destination. Life is like that spiritually, I think, as well. And events in life help us to prepare for the destination, wherever God has us to go to. Now, I'm not saying we're all going to hear from angels. I'm not saying we're all going to have these marvelous experiences. But what I am saying is we need to come to a place of seeing the life that Jesus gave us as a mission. Jesus has given us more than salvation, believe it or not. It's more. It's a good thing. He's given us opportunity to serve. He's given us opportunity to care and to share the gospel with people and to watch over them. It's for a purpose. And we're not all going to be used by the Lord in the same way, and we're not, and I'm not trying to say that we all have to be this. God is not a cookie-cutter person. He just doesn't set all these people down there. We're not supposed to be Christian clones. Steve Taylor's song, I Don't Want to Be a Clone, I don't know if you've ever heard that. He wanted to be a Christian, but he didn't want to be like everybody else. He didn't want to be a Christian clone. But we all can be used. Every one of us can be used in some way. So look to where you're going, but along the way, how does God want to use me? Look for the opportunities that the Lord opens up for you to be used. And ask yourself, where am I going from here? Where am I going? Don't just assume that you're going to do the exact same thing every day. Look for the opportunities. That brings some adventure into the Christian life that sometimes I think we're missing. We're missing out on it. Second point, what am I reading? Second question, what am I reading? What am I reading? So Philip, you know, the way he is, he has this courage, he has this security, this faith and trust to be used. And which is an important thing. And when we think about what are we looking at, what are we seeing, what are we reading in Scripture, how is it affecting us, what are we doing? When Jesus said that we're supposed to be salt and light, he meant we're supposed to have some sort of spiritual impact. So how do we get that at that place? In Matthew 15, it talks about the salt of the earth and the light of the world, and let your light shine before others so that they may see, so that they may see something. When Roxanne and I were engaged, the summer before we went to college, I had the grand opportunity, I've told some of you this before, I worked for a septic company. And we pumped septic tanks all day. You know, we went to rest areas and pumped out all those places. It's fun. Other places like that. And so when I would come home, and or I'd stop by Roxanne's apartment before I went home, she would be somewhat disappointed in the effect I had on our meeting. The smell was not something that was a high-class cologne. Let's put it that way. And she would say, well, why don't you go home and take a shower, and then you can come back and visit. You know, we're supposed to smell better than septic, but we're supposed to. We're salt and we're light. There's supposed to be something about our lives that cause people to say, huh, what's that? Not, huh, what's that smell, but, huh, what's that? What's going on here? What do you have in your life that I don't have? Let your light shine before others so that they may see. It's believing in Jesus, what he did for you, what he is doing for you, and it's living it out. That's the effect. That's the salt and the light. And we're speaking it, we're living it, we want to have an impact for others and to share that. See, Christianity is more than just a dead religiosity, and it can be for some people. But it's more than that. It's real. It was real to Philip. He has seen God move. He has seen the Holy Spirit in action, and he wants to be the salt and the light. He's already being the salt and the light. He's seasoning the world around him. He's showing a dark world something that they need. In 1 Corinthians 5, and I mentioned this 2 weeks ago, 1 Corinthians 5, verses 17 through 19 we'll look at, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting us the message of reconciliation. Reconciliation, the word reconciliation means a settlement. It can be a financial settlement. It can be a whatever type of settlement you want it to be, but it can be a settlement. But it can also mean reunion. It's bringing things together, bringing things to an end, bringing things to a relational, satisfied settlement. That has something to do with our relationship with God. And we're not just, Jesus, as magnificent as this, and it's more than enough that it is, he died for our sins that we can be forgiven. He didn't just do that. He made it so that we can have a relationship that can be growing, a relationship that can be knowing. We can know him more and more as we look at him. Philip wanted to share that, and he sees someone. Okay, he's on this desert road. He sees someone, and this one looks like a good one. Well, it's probably the only one there. That's the amazing thing about this. You got Philip, who's in Samaria, and the angel says, I want you to go south, and I want you to go between Jerusalem and Gaza. That's all he's got. So he shows up there, and there's a guy in a chariot. Now, the timing of that, this is God's timing. This is a magnificent aspect of what God does. He brings all things together that make sense and fulfill his purpose, and it's amazing. Now, we can see that in different ways, and sometimes we don't like the way he does it, but that's God's way, so we can be satisfied with that. But Philip goes over to him. He's looking up. He's looking and say, the Spirit says, go over and talk to him. Go over to the chariot. Go over to the chariot and join the chariot. So Philip, this is what I would do. I go, well, I don't know if he looks quite right. You know, No, he said, Philip runs to the guy in the chariot. He runs to him. There's possibly a driver. There may have been other people there too. But he runs over to the chariot, and this guy is sitting there, and he's reading, and Philip somehow finds out who this guy is. And this is where conversation with people helps you to get to know them. This is why conversation is very important. Too often, we want people to know who we are. I don't know if you're like that. When you first meet people, hi, I'm Dave Magoon, I'm blah, 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 blah. And there's a lot of blahs in there. And, you know, I just share it. Too often, we feel more comfortable because we know who we are. We don't know who you are, so I'm going to share about what I know. I know me. So we do this information dump on people, and you never get to know. But how many of you have introduced yourself, and they have introduced themselves to you, and you've totally forgotten their name because you're thinking about, what do I got to tell them next? Ah, happens to me constantly. I have no idea who you are. I don't know your names at all. No. No, but that happens so often. That's why we'd always keep Roxanne with me. What's their name? What's their name again? And she would say, oh, that's Mr. Peterson, or that's so-and-so. Oh, hi, yeah. I'll tell you. So Philip runs up to the guy, and he's going over there, and this is where questions and conversation comes in, and he's going there, and he wants to know what's going on. So Philip wanted to know about him. Philip wants to know about him. And Philip finds out. Now, how he finds out, it never really says, but we find out a lot about this guy. He's an Ethiopian. He's a court official to Queen Candace. Today, if historically you look back, he was from the region of the South Sudan, okay? He had, this guy, the Ethiopian, had completed a 1,500-mile trek from where he lived in South Sudan all the way to Jerusalem so he could worship. Okay, 1,500 miles in a chariot, okay. Hopefully with a driver. They didn't have automatic chariots back then. The Tesla chariot, I don't think, was out yet. I'm not sure. But he journeyed 1,500 miles north to Jerusalem, arrived there for the Jewish holiday at the temple. He was probably a finance minister. He was educated. He was probably well off financially. He owned his own scroll of scriptures. That wasn't something that just anybody could have. He could read Hebrew. So he was an educated person. If not a Jewish convert, he was a God-fearing man. Now, this is where we want to pay attention. Philip hears him reading out loud, and Philip knows what he's reading. I think that's fascinating. Philip knows scripture well enough, so he knows exactly where he is reading at. And that's a fascinating thing. And Philip simply asks him a question. Do you understand what you're reading? Short, easy, not confrontative. He allows a door to open for further conversation. Just a basic question. If you want to get to know someone, remember this. Questions are easier to ask than answers are to give. Questions are easier to ask than answers are to give. And the Ethiopian's reading from Isaiah 53, and he's eager to learn. He is searching the scriptures. My question is, what do we spend our time doing? This guy's reading the scriptures. He's traveling and he's reading. He's trying to figure out what was going on. He'd just been to church. Now he's trying to get more out of it. What are we reading? What do we spend our time doing? Are we curious about Scripture, or do we feel like we know enough? Are we so familiar with Scripture that we're not digging for more in the Bible? And a lot of times, maybe we don't fully understand it. We were talking about something just the other day. What does that mean? I can't remember specifically what it was, but we were saying, what does that really mean? We've read this stuff over and over and over again for 50-some-odd years, but there's always something where we can learn more. If faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, we need to grow in our faith. We need to read Scripture. We need to read the Bible. We need to heighten our faith so that we can go out and have faith and trust in where God's teaching, leading and teaching us, what he's teaching us. So what are we reading? Get into the scriptures more. Get eager. Start looking. Learn Hebrew. I don't know, but open your Bibles and enjoy that. Let's look at the last question. Three questions for my soul. Three questions for my soul. It's the third point. When Philip asks the Ethiopian if he understands what he's reading, see, this is a question that prompts a question that prompts another question. And the questions are how, who, and what. These are the words that come out of the Ethiopian. How, who, and what. The Ethiopian asks three questions of Philip, and I think we can learn a little more from this in positioning ourselves to grow in the Lord. When Philip asked him in verse 30, do you understand what you're reading? The Ethiopian says, how can I do it unless someone guides me? How can I understand unless someone helps me out here? He could read Hebrew, but he didn't understand really what it meant. What it was talking about, it's a teachability here that the Ethiopian had and a humility that I think is very good. When I first became a Christian, when the gospel was shared with me for the first time, I was very eager to hear about it. I had no clue about Christianity whatsoever. I was raised in a liberal congregational church. My mother had a master's degree in religious education from an extremely liberal seminary, and Jesus really wasn't brought up in our house. There were a lot of other weird things that were brought up in my house, but it wasn't Jesus. So as far as understanding anything, I would say I was like, as my stepfather used to say, number in the post. That's the way, I just didn't know one thing about Christianity, but I wanted to know more. I wanted to know more. I wanted to gain understanding. I wanted to embrace it in my own life. And there were people there that shared with me, that guided me. There's a pattern here. There's a pattern here for us. It's the same with the Ethiopian. How can I understand unless someone guides me? And get this. Philip's a stranger running up to his chariot. He says, come on up. Sit in my chariot with me. There's another open door. The opportunity's presented. And he's reading out of Isaiah. In our passage, it's verses 32 and 33. Yeah, 32 and 33. And he says, our passage says, now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice is denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. So it brings about another question. And many people may say, if they read that passage of scripture in Isaiah, they're going, what does it mean? Gives us another question, verse 34. About whom, this is the Ethiopian asking, about whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? Who's he talking about? What's going on here? Wow, talk about an open door. Another open door, and Philip just begins. Verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And the New American Standard Version says, he preached Jesus to him. He preached Jesus to him. Now, this passage is about the suffering servant in Isaiah 53. Now, I want to read a little bit of that to give you some perspective. Isaiah 53 is one of the major messianic prophecies in the Old Testament. Starting at verse 3, he was despised and rejected by men, that's Jesus. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, that's Jesus. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs, he's carried our sorrows, yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, like the sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief when his soul makes an offering for guilt. I'll stop there. It's all talking about Jesus, what he did. It's his whole life, and it was written 600 years before even Jesus showed up. In our passage, Jesus has come. In the book of Acts, he's already come. He's already ascended. He was crucified. A 600-year-old prophecy was fulfilled. And the Ethiopian wants to know about it. I want to know what's going on. Tell me what's going on here. Philip preaches Jesus to him. And in all of that discussion, he talks about Jesus' coming, his living, his sacrifice, his dying on the cross, raising from the dead, appearing to many, ascending into heaven, that those who believe that their sins would be forgiven, they get to be baptized in a public expression of their faith in Christ Jesus. Philip shared all that and more. It was all laid out for him. So it prompts another question. The final question that is asked is what? The Ethiopian embraces the gospel. He embraces it. He wants this. And they're going along the road and they come to some water and the Ethiopian asks, what is to prevent me from being baptized? What is to prevent me from being baptized? And he orders the chariot to stop. That's why I say there's probably a driver there. He orders the chariot to stop. They both go to the water. Philip baptizes them, and as soon as they come out of the water, the Spirit carries Philip away, and the Ethiopian continues his journey, what? Rejoicing. He's rejoicing. It affected. This is life-changing for this guy. And Philip shows up in another town. What does Philip do in the other town? He passes through and he kept preaching the gospel. He kept preaching the gospel until he got to Caesarea. That was his destination, his next destination. But he kept preaching the gospel. What an experience. He continued the journey. Now, the questions. The questions of how, understanding. Who is Jesus? What is keeping me from following him? Questions like this are good questions to ask, not just for the unbeliever. It's to ask ourselves too, what is keeping me? We have to ask ourselves, how is my relationship with Jesus? Do yourself a little spiritual checkup. How is my relationship with Jesus? Am I growing in God? Am I eager to learn? Do I have faith? Do I have trust? These are things we need to ask ourselves regularly. The next one, who am I in Jesus? Who has the Lord put into my life? Who can I share the gospel with? Who can I encourage as a brother and a sister in the church? Or who can I share someone that's hurting that doesn't know the Lord? Who can I do that? We need to understand who we are as children of God. We're adopted into a family. We are something a lot more special than we realize, I'm afraid. And then the last question, the last word was what? What's the Lord placed on your heart to do? We become Christians and we get into a church and we're happy with what we're doing. Sometimes it's the same thing. We get into something that's just to continue. Yeah, I sit in the same seat every time. That's what I do. That's people that come up to me, I say the same thing. That's what I do. I encourage them in that way. That's what I do. But what has the Lord placed on your heart? And sometimes we don't really search that out. We don't ask the Lord to share for us to receive that, to share with others. So we want to be able to serve. We want to be able to share. We want to be able to pray, and we want to be studying to live the life that he's laid before us, because it's a journey, and there's a destination that we're eventually coming to. It's the journey that's important along the way so that we can bring glory to God through our lives. Listen, if you don't know Jesus and you need that, and you have the question, well, how can I understand that more? I encourage you, after the service, come down. Let's talk about those questions. Who is Jesus? What's holding you back from coming to Jesus? But anybody else, if you have a prayer need and you're just saying, I don't know, I feel like I need more of what God wants me to do. And it doesn't matter what our circumstance is. It has no bearing on what our circumstance is. If you are a believer in Christ, he has something for you to do. It'll look very different than somebody else, but he has something for you to do. And I want to invite you to come down and we can pray for you. And we can talk about these things. And we can ask the Lord, Lord, help us. Help us to be more like Philip. Help us to have that faith and that trust so that we can move forward and see people come to know you. What a privilege it is to be able to serve the God we serve. So let's pray. So Father, thank you. Thank you for the accounts in Scripture that are so fascinating and interesting, and sometimes we look at them and we say how out-of-worldliness these things are, that we can't picture ourselves being used in any way by the Lord. But I thank you for the opportunities you've given each one of us over the years, and I know you've used us, but Lord, we want more. We want to be used more. We don't want to waste the life that you've given us. We want to be a people that says, where, Lord? Where would you like me to go? What would you like me to read in your scripture? Who do you want me to talk to? Lord, those opportunities come from you. You align people so that we cross people's paths just at the right time. So Lord, help us. Sear within our souls, in our spirit, Lord, that we can have a hunger and a thirst after righteousness. We can have a hunger and thirst after mission. And we can serve you to your glory. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.